Joe.
What's up?
If you have Bibles,
I ask that you turn to the book of James, second chapter. Second chapter, verses 21 through 23. I'm going to read 21 through 23. I might read a little more than that. Let me see here. Yeah, 21 to 23. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteous, as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. And I'm going to stop right there. May read further. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now, Lord, and we just ask that we hear from you. Lord, we ask that you direct my thoughts and my words, Lord. Lord, to glorify you. Father, we want to hear a word from on high today. A word that will encourage us. A word, Lord, that will inspire us to live more for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Yeah, I think I'm going to go a little further than that. Amen. Just checking here. So while I'm checking, I can say this. I got a birthday coming this week. And it's coming. Just like you said, it's coming. I mean, you know, you go through this thing where you happy to see birthdays come. But then you go to a point where you say, it can slow down. It can slow down. Like I go into stores now and everybody call me sir. I was helping my daughter move yesterday and my son was like, whoa. And although he didn't say it, it was this. Whoa. Now you know you're old. I know you said. I know Junie was laughing at me too. And then it's a part of you that's so competitive that you want to show them that you can outlift them. Yeah, I said that was a thought because I like these young guys got it. They're good. And then the last thing is like I had an observation the other day when I was watching all of these NBA finals, and I was like, man, I can still play basketball on the couch. Because I found myself, oh! And then I'm vocal. Buckets! I can't move like I used to, amen. So today we're going to talk about faith, and I told you all that I wanted you to read James the second chapter. James the second chapter, and I tell you, this is a chapter. When I read it this week, I just appreciated it even even more. You know, it moved you. If it hasn't moved you, I tell you, it moved me to tears at times. So when I was reading this, chapter, and I told you all that we were going to talk about the resilience of faith and the risking of faith as a risk taker, so to speak, and that we were also going to talk about that rig, that, you know, the rig meaning that body that we need to execute faith. But why even go and try to prove this point? Why even talk about this subject of faith, this, you know, from the 14th verse all the way to the 26th verse? Why even, approach it? What's the big deal here? What's the point of this scripture passage? Why address it? Didn't Paul address it already? Can't we just, what's the big deal? What's the importance of it? Well, church, what I've found out through my studies is that our understanding as to how to live this faith that we have, it can either draw or repel the loss. It can either strengthen or crush the weak. How we live this faith that we have can either encourage or unease the discouraged. It's important not only that we understand this faith, but it's important as to how we execute it as well. How we go about living out this faith that we have. And before I get into the resilience and the risk and the rig of faith, I just want to just make sure that we are firmly planted in this thing that's called faith. Now, as I told you just a minute ago, this thing is a matter of life and death sometimes, most times. When folks are coming through this door and they have an opportunity to come in the midst of the saints, it's important to see saints living out their faith faithfully, living out their faith being faithful to the Lord. Because as I stated, the loss comes in and they can either be drawn in and say, I want this, or they can be repelled. But then the proper execution of faith also is beneficial for those who are inside the church already. Because if you're discouraged, the last thing you want is somebody to make you even more discouraged, more uneased. And if you're feeling weak, the last thing you want is somebody to make you feel weaker and just crush you. You want someone to build you up, to lift you higher. And that made me think of Luke, that 10th chapter. And in Luke, the 10th chapter, it's a story of that Samaritan. And that good Samaritan, where Jesus said, let me give you a parable. And he said that a man was traveling on that dangerous road to Jerusalem. And if you go, depending on which direction you go, that road was really dangerous, and it was steep, too. It was very steep. They said it was about a 17-mile stretch, and it slowly went down about 3,000 feet. And during his travel, all of a sudden, some robbers came and robbed him and left him half dead. Now, to be left half dead, you must have been really beat up. But don't worry. Don't worry. In God's providence, a priest comes by. And when that priest came by, he saw him and said, "Oh, no, let me help you." And no. No. It said that the priest went on the other side and went on. But don't worry, because in God's providence, a Levite came by. And you know, if a priest is one that interprets the law and loves, you know, they're supposed to love and then do the sacrifices for you. Well, the Levites are the ones that assist the priests, and they are in the service. Matter of fact, they are coordinate the services and everything, so they know exactly what to do. And so in God, in his providence, he brings a Levite by. And that Levite said, "Oh, no." And he runs over there and he, no. Even the Levite said, he went on the other side as well. And we can stop the story right there today. And the reason why is because we're talking to church people. The priests was a church folk. The Levite was a church folk. And we church folks, and living out our faith, sometimes we go on the other side when folks need our help and folks are crying out. What we do is we go on the other side. This faith that we live, it's got to be better than that. It's got to be better than that. Got to be better than that. We should have a faith that we comprehend and understand to a point that it expresses itself through our bodies. How else can it be expressed? How else can faith be expressed if it's not through our hands and our feet and our words? How else can it be expressed? Tell me. I sat back in my studies and I said, how can faith be expressed if it's not through our actions? How can it be? You know, when I was reading one writer, he said that earlier in James, when James said that it was a sister and a brother that was hungry, and then all of a sudden they just said, "Hey, go your way and I'll pray for you." Right? Y'all remember that, right? and he said, "Just go ahead and I'll pray for you." And then they go their way, you know, or they were needing clothes, and James pretty much said they did nothing. And there was a sister or a brother that was in that situation. So that was church folks responding like that to church folks. And James was saying, your faith should be better than that. It should be better than that. But nevertheless, what happens, James said, is that, you know, when they needed food and clothing, you know, you went the other way, to paraphrase. You went the other way. And one writer said it like this. If he could paraphrase it, he said, the believer that did not help, his thought pattern was, brother or sister, you're clothed in righteousness. So you should be okay. You're fed from manna from on high. you should be all right. Go your way, and I'll go mine. Be filled. Right? Be filled. You should have a faith that's better than that. Amen? And this faith that James is talking about, you gotta understand, his argument was not with Paul. It wasn't with Paul. Paul and James, they were on the same page, like I told you all last week. Wasn't no contradiction there. There was no beef between them in terms of explaining this faith. See, what ended up happening is this, is that James had an audience that he was addressing, and Paul had an audience that he was addressing, right? Paul was addressing some legalistic believers, but James was addressing some lax, lazy believers. See, Paul emphasized salvation through faith. But James emphasized proof of salvation. Proof of salvation. Paul was emphasizing conversion. James was emphasizing commitment. Commitment. See, this is why the parable that I forgot to mention last week is so applicable here. And that parable is of the talent. You remember that in Matthew, where Matthew, the 25th chapter, where it was this Lord or this master, and he gave his servants talents, gave them a certain amount of money. And then, you know, that third one he gave one talent to. And all the money that he gave the servants, it was some bank. It was a lot of money. Well, the one that had 10, he went and he invested it in everything, and he had a whole bunch to give back to his master when he returned. All right, the one that had 5, he did the same. He invested it in, and all of a sudden he had a whole lot to give back. But then the one that was given 1, he came, and while his master was gone, he just buried his. And he came with this thing, you know, this reasoning, you know, I knew you were going to be a hard, you know, shrewd master. And so I know, you know, you didn't want me to, like, you know, if I lost it, you would have lost it. So I just buried it. And he said, you wicked servant, you could have at least put it in the bank and it would have got interest for me. He was in a whole lot of trouble because what his master gave him, he did nothing with it. He did nothing with it. And I hope you all hear the message on today. Because when God blesses your life and he grants faith, infuses faith within that life, and you do nothing with it, you think he will be pleased? You think he's going to be okay with that? No, he's given you faith because your faith should have action. Your faith should have a life behind it. A life behind it. In James, the first chapter, in the first verses of this same chapter, in verse 18 and 19, it says, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. Do you all understand how sobering of a thought this is? Think about what James is saying here. He's saying that even demons have the right doctrine sometimes. And although these demons have the right doctrine sometimes, guess what? They're still demons. They're still demons. They're still demons. They're still lost. And you're telling me that you have a faith that doesn't make a difference? God forbid. It's just like Elder Williamson when folks were getting baptized up here. He says, don't go in there a dry devil and then come up a wet one. No, you see, it's a change that ought to take place. That faith that you have, it ought to have a change to it. A change in your life. You know, it's just like that old song that says, you know, when I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. No, it's not like the old same old hands and the same old feet that you ought to have. They should have a different purpose. A different purpose, a different mission. A different mission. Amen? It's just like also I was thinking of that regeneration when we looked at that and we were looking at all of the chains of faith where we was doing call and regeneration and all the others. Regeneration was one that was fascinating to me because it says that God, first of all, calls us with an effectual call. And that means when he calls, it comes with an effect to it. It's going to have an effect. Because when that call goes out with power, regenerating power. And check it out, this regenerating power, it has two aspects to it. That regenerating power, it negates your past, but it energizes you for the future. It negates your past, but it energizes you. It helps you live for him for the future. God just doesn't call, and then all of a sudden you're just there, and you just exist. No, your faith is one that should be active. It should be lived. It should be lived. And that's why James ends with three examples. Some say two, I say three. And his first example is that of Abraham. And he said, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you all remember that story? Where all of a sudden, after all this time, Abraham finally got that son. Finally, he's got that son. See, Abraham had to wait 25 years for this promise to come through. He was 75 when God said, I'm going to give you a seed. He was 100 when it happened. He had to wait 25 years. But during that 25 years, he was working his faith. He was working his faith. In chapter 15, that's when, in Genesis, by the way, in chapter 15, that's when God gave him the promise. In chapter 16, all of a sudden, that was the big, bright ideal chapter. Let me help God chapter, right? That was the big, bright ideal that ended up becoming a big, beautiful bill. Y'all didn't get that. But the point is that it was a price to pay. with that bright idea, right? And then all of a sudden that ends up resulting in Ishmael's birth. But then in chapter 17, God had to reiterate the promise. In chapter 18, we see that Abraham's faith is growing because he ends up interceding. He ends up interceding for Sodom. He says, Lord, what if 50? Okay, what if 45? Okay, what if 30? Okay, what if 20? Okay, Lord, I know I'm getting on your nerves, but what about 10? What about 10? And he was, like I said, he was interceding. Interceding for others. But then, that was chapter 18. But then, and all of a sudden, chapter 19, he saw that his prayers could go through. Because God spared his nephew Lot during that situation in Sodom and Gomorrah. So Abraham said, oh, I can get a prayer through. And that helps your faith even more when you understand that God hears you. And then in chapter 20, it matures his faith even more. Because what happens is sometimes you understand that faith doesn't just go like this. Sometimes you have those dips and those valleys in your faith. But nevertheless, you're still trending. You're still trending. And then in chapter 21, we see that his faith is reinforced even more. Why? Because that's when Isaac was born. Isaac was born, and then all of a sudden in chapter 22, Isaac was born in chapter 21, and then in chapter 22, God says, go kill him. But by this time, this was Abraham's response. See, in chapter 15, verses 5 through 6, it says this, and he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars. If you are able to count them, and then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And it says this about Abraham. Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteous. Abraham stood on that faith. And by the time this incident rolled around, Abraham was ready. God said, go sacrifice your son. And that's exactly what Abraham was intending to do. He got the wood ready. He got everything ready for it. And he was ready to go and do that. See, sometimes, saints, I remember growing up, and faith is something like this. You know, when I was growing up, I had a Bozo Bop toy. Do y'all remember those? It was those clowns. It's a Bozo Bop bag. I think that's what they call it. Yeah, and at the bottom of that bag, it's weighted. So when you put it on the ground, it had a firm foundation, right? But then you had to blow it up, and when you blew it up, all of a sudden you had to make sure you blew it up right, because according to the instructions and whatnot, it says that this childhood toy, its ability is to right itself after being knocked over due to the weighted base. But what happens when you don't have enough air in it? Well, it doesn't come back up. You can bop it, and it stays bopped. But all of a sudden, when you have the right amount of air in it, see, what happens is that God takes you through situations in your life where you got a firm foundation. But all of a sudden, he blows the wind, and that wind gives you more faith along the way. And when you are at that right level and you got the right amount of faith within you, you can take some blows and get hit, but you have that resilience to come to right back up, right? You'll come right back up as soon as you get hit. And sometimes I used to get a running start. And that's what it seems like the devil does sometimes. The devil just get a running start sometimes, and he tries to knock your head off. But when you have the right amount of faith in that firm foundation, all of a sudden he hits you. You may go, you may move, but guess what? You come right back up again. And that's what that resilience is all about. Resilience is defined as the capacity to withstand or to recover quickly from difficulties. Another definition says the ability of a substance or an object to spring back into its shape. So no matter what happens, you can spring back. You got some spring backness faith that's going on. And like I said, when you get hit, all of a sudden when you get that faith in you, you can bounce right back up again because you got a firm foundation. But what is so interesting is that your foundation remains. But sometimes you get a leak and you leak out some faith. And when you leak out some faith, all of a sudden, and a hit comes and you act like you want to stay down. That's when the others come. That's when the other saints come. And iron sharpens iron, and where two or three are joined, right? And then all of a sudden, don't abandon the household of faith, because you're going to need the faith of others sometimes to push your own. And then all of a sudden we get here and we may see a leak going on. That's okay. I got a piece of tape. And I can tape that up, and we can just repair one another and build each other up, and then pump some more faith in you and give you some more word to go in you. And when that word goes in you and you go pumped up again, guess what? You're ready for more blows. You're ready for more blows, because this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And when you're going out here, you're going to receive blow after blow. But you know what? You're resilient, saints, and you can bounce back up again. Bounce back up again. And that's what this whole thing about faith is about, because you live your faith. We live this faith that we're in. Faith is just not a piece of jewelry. Faith is not like a cross that's hanging from our neck where it's just a symbol of something. No, this faith that we have, it lives, it moves. It lives and it moves. And then you go on, and next he talked about Rahab. And Rahab, that's a faith that takes a risk. It takes a risk. And you remember the story of Rahab in the second chapter of Joshua. And this is what Rahab said in a few verses. It says, now before they lay down, that is those spies, before she had got them all situated, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were among the Jordan, to Shihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of faith, of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them and deliver our lives from death. This was a pagan woman. Abraham, he was a Jewish man of the promised people. Here is a lady that had nothing to do with promised people. Matter of fact, her line of profession was prostitution. So she was a woman. She had a horrible profession. And she lived among people that did not believe. I mean, she just had strike after strike after strike after strike. But the Lord says, I can use her. The Lord says, I can use her. And you know what? She heard. Somehow she got the message that the Lord was on the move. And the Lord was the Lord. Although they had pagan deities all throughout her city, she heard about a God that delivered a group of people. And she said, I want to know this God for myself. For myself. And you know what? When she heard, she believed. Although others in the city were scared and everything else, it didn't change their life. And it didn't change their point of view, but it changed hers. And when she had an opportunity to understand even more about this Lord, and his people came, those spies came, she said, oh, no, 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 this is my ticket. This is my ticket. No, no, no. I want to know him even more. And you know what? I'm going to help you all out. Not because of y'all, but because of him. Because when you serve a God like that, that's a God that I want. That's a God that I want. So I want him for myself even more. And what's amazing about this story is that when you read Jesus' genealogy, guess who's in here in the genealogy? This is Jesus' kinfolks. And God was able to use this woman because of a faith that takes risks. This is a faith that took risks. And when you have a faith that takes risks, that means that you trust in a God that can do it. Because if he did it for the children of Israel, I know, she said, he can do it for me too. So when the time comes, let me know when y'all coming. And I'll let you all know that I'm watching, because you'll see that red strip. It'll be hanging down from my window. Just let me know. Blow the trumpets and let me know you're coming. Because we will be exactly where you say we need to be. We will be all right here in this house, waiting for this deliverance to come. Waiting for this deliverance to come. That's the faith that takes a risk. Saints, I hope that you understand that I don't care what your situation is. I don't care who you are. When God infuses your life with faith, it should change. There should be a change in your walk. There should be a change in your talk. It should be a change in your focus. You should have a faith that is action-driven. Action-driven. Not dead, but action-driven. Live for Him. Live for Him. I told you all last week, they do all these studies about how many folks in church actually work and those that don't, and they had this very low percentage of people that work and this very high percentage of folks that don't. So very few are the ones that do a whole bunch of stuff in the church. And so you got this disproportionate amount of faith living going on, so to speak, or works going on. I say to that this, to those who are here, tell me, how can I know that you have faith? How can I know that you have faith if your hands are not busy? If your feet are not busy? If your mouth is not even open for the Lord? Tell me, how can I know? How can anyone else know that you have this faith that you profess? How can I know? How can anyone know? How can anyone know? And for those who are few, I tell you, the older I get, you know what looks more and more beautiful to me? Faithful saints. It does something to me. Because, see, in my life, I can't imagine doing nothing for God. I got to do something for Him. I got to serve Him. Not just out of appreciating all that He's done for me, but just now, it's just about how much I love Him. And then all of a sudden, when I sit back and I see how others love Him as well, as they sacrifice, as they work for Him, I tell you, it's a beautiful thing seeing a saint in action. I couldn't say that when I was younger, but now I'm like, wow. Go ahead on. Live for Him. Live for Him. When I was talking to my daughter the other day, and she texted, and she's about to move, and the only thing that was on my mind was that, okay, I understand that training and things like that are going on. I said, but now it's time to build a kingdom. Now it's time to build a kingdom. I know nothing else other than living for who died for me. And that's the same type of passion I want her to have. Live for who died for you. And build His kingdom and not your own. Build His kingdom. Work for Him. Yes, there's balance. Yes, there's balance. Yes. That's my favorite word to them, balance. But live for Him. Even in your balance, glorify Him. Live for Him. And saints, I'll park it here to say that I challenge you all to work your faith. No, we're not saved by works. No. but we're saved to serve. So are you serving? Are you busy serving? If you're not, then you're going to have to ask yourself a question. Why you not? Why aren't you? Are you discouraged? Well, come talk to me. I'll encourage you. Because we need you. Are you weak? Well, come and let the elders pray for you so that you will get even stronger, so that you can serve him. Are you lost? Well, if you're lost, I want you to see how beautiful this life for him can be. And when you see just how beautiful this life can be, I pray that you would want it for yourself and that you would serve him and choose him today. Choose him today. That's my prayer, saints, that you're busy for him. There are folks that are dying every day. And we cannot go through this life haphazardly. We got to be busy for the kingdom. So where are you today? Where is your faith? Do you have a resilient faith? Do you have a faith that can take risks? And if I were to develop this sermon even further, it's that body is that rig or mechanism that we have to execute these acts of faith. What are you doing with your body? What you doing with it? What you doing with your time? What you doing with your talent? What are you doing with all the things that the Lord has blessed you with? What are you doing with those? Are you building your kingdom? Or are you building his? If you're building yours, let me tell you, it's got an expiration date. Because only what you do for Christ will last. I was listening to a documentary I was watching. It says all the fellas, Rockefeller and all the other rich guys, you know, they said the crazy thing is that they left all this money. They spent all their time gathering up all this money. And they had relatives to follow them that spent all of the money. Luckily for some, they had so much money that the foolish relatives that they left behind couldn't spend it all. And that's what the commentator said. In other words, you can gather it all up, but don't be like that rich fool where he says, oh, yes, tonight, I got my goods laid up. Now I can eat, drink, and be merry. And then all of a sudden, God tapped him on his shoulder and said, thou fool, this night your soul is required of you. And who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Don't let that be your story. Come today. Choose ye today. Try Christ. Try Christ. Everything else will fade away. Try Christ. Come today. Don't delay. Come now. Tomorrow's not promised. Don't hesitate. Choose ye now. The devil is whispering in your ear saying, I got tomorrow. No, you don't. Tomorrow's not promised. The only thing that you're guaranteed is now. Come now. Come now. That's my prayer. For those who have questions and need prayer, those who are making that decision to follow Christ today, come afterwards, and the elders will be here before you to pray, to talk to you, to counsel you after this message. Pray that you come today. God bless you.